But think about it. If God does exist, if this is his book, if the Bible is something that he has written for us, and it tells us what to do, this book tells us to do stuff, it's good to do them. But yet I also realize that I'm not very good at doing it. So this book paints a picture of a life that we should live, that we can live, that we are enabled to live, but it's hard. It's hard to do. It's good for us. There's blessing, there's excitement, there's satisfaction in living the life that we've been given in this book. But we can get stuck. And we can miss the fulfillment that God has for us. We can miss the life that he offers. I think God has something more for us. He's got change. He's got transformation. He's got newness. He's got this walk that we are supposed to go on. Now, you read through this book, and a lot of different people throughout this book talk about this idea of walking. It's a very common human experience. You know, a little child rolls around first, and then they start to crawl up on their hands and knees, but eventually they figure out walking. I was talking to the McKnights earlier, and their little guy, he's kind of scooting a little bit, but he's not really crawling yet. But once they figure out walking, they realize that this is a much faster way to get places. And then they discover running. And then zoom, they're off, going every which way. But Jesus talked about walking. John 8, he says this, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." Talks about the idea of following him being something that we do, a walk, a journey. Paul talks about it in Romans. He says, "Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ we were raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life." And then in Galatians he says, "I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh." And then we just finished the book of 1 John, and the idea of walk is there too. He says, "If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin." And so this idea of walk is great. It's helpful for us because, I don't know about you, but I kind of want to arrive oftentimes. I don't want to spend time on the journey. The journey can be tiresome. It can be long. It can be boring. But a journey is what we are on. Life is not a sprint even. It's a marathon. And so for us to achieve what God has for us, a walk is a good a good pace to keep up. We change a little at a time. We don't change all at once. And so this idea of walking starts with a step, right? But even sometimes, one step can be difficult. It can be really, really hard even just to take a step. And maybe you think, hey, you know what? I can do a lot. I'm a capable person. I can take a step. Well, what about that area in your life that you're stuck, that you've been dealing with for some time? Can you change that area in your life? Can you just say, well, you know what? I'm going to be different now. That's a hard thing to do. I've lived with myself. I've been in this skin for a while. And I've realized some things I can change. Other things, I don't know if I can. And I can get into this place where I feel like I'm in concrete and I just cannot move in this area in my life. Whether it's with an area of, you know, disorganization or lack of discipline or even outright sin, where I say, you know what, I feel kind of stuck here. And I'm not making progress. I'm not walking in this area. And maybe I'm doing other things fine. I'm connecting with God. I'm connecting with other people. And in this area or that area, I'm able to walk and progress. But sometimes we can have times, things in our life where we get stuck. Why? Why is it hard? Well, some of that is just the body that we're still in. We come to Christ and he saves us, but yet we still struggle with sin. We still struggle with our flesh and the desires that we have within our mortal bodies. Some of it is this enemy that we have that prowls around like a roaring lion. And he doesn't want us to move. He wants to hold us fast and keep us in this area of hardship in our life. But I think that there's hope. I believe that there is hope. I see in this book hope that it doesn't have to keep being that way. Sometimes we feel like we can't even move an inch. We're just stuck. I love this story. Oh, and I was going to try not to get emotional sharing this story. It's the story of Jesus healing this guy. It's from John 5. So this guy, he was there, who had been disabled for 38 years. And Jesus saw him lying there and realized he had already been there a long time. And he says, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the disabled man said, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water's stirred up. But while I'm coming, somebody else goes down ahead of me." And this guy, so this disabled guy, he's been there for so long. He's waited so long. He's tried so many times, and he can't move an inch. 38 years. And I don't know if you've been dealing with something in your life for 38 years or maybe even longer. But we serve a God who works miracles, who can help someone move. Go on to the next slide, the rest of the story. "Get up," Jesus told him, "pick up your mat and walk." Instantly, the man got well, picked up his mat, and started to walk. And that story is so, so powerful because we know his backstory. We know that he had been there for 38 years. That's at least half a lifetime. It's possible. And I've tried, and you've tried, and we've tried, and we can get so stuck, and we can feel so frozen with fear, with anxiety, with whatever it might be. And we can feel so trapped. But God is a miracle maker. He can bust us out. We need a miracle sometimes in our lives. And that's what our God can do. And there's some things that we're just not going to be able to overcome apart from God's strength. You know, we can do so many things. You know, if you really, really want a program, you can find one to accomplish so many things in your life. If you want to eat better, if you want to lose weight, if you want to study harder, if you want to get a degree, if you want to do this or do that, there's commercials. There's so many programs and things that you can buy to change your life. But some things we just cannot overcome without God. We know that we're supposed to pray. We know that we're supposed to read the Bible. We know that we're supposed to do this in life or that in life. But sometimes we just struggle and we fight and we run into our own self and our stuff and our sin and the devil, and we run into that and we're stuck. It's hard. We don't do what we know we ought to do. And we can feel like we're on a bike and we're going uphill. Here's a picture of a bike. I think I got that up next. Yep. To start in that position's really pretty much impossible. Eric, you're a bike guy, right? You don't want to start like that. Oh man, you can't get going. So we want a dirt bike. We want to be like this, you know. Mark just said, let's push a button. We just want to twist the throttle. Oh, that sounds like a lot more fun. You don't sweat nearly as much on one of those. But you know what? I don't think life is like that. As much as we want it to be, life is not like that. And so, have you heard of these things called power assist bikes? There's a picture of one. It's got this like little teeny motor in there, so it's not a full motorcycle, but yet you're not working by yourself. And I think that when we latch into what God has for us and we say, God, I want to change this area in my life, and I think you want me to change in this area in my life, help me. Help me. Then we turn on the power assist and we work and God helps us get up the hill. God's grace empowers us. 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. And now we need God's grace to take the next breath. We need God's grace to come to him, to believe in him that first time and to have faith. And we're sealed with his Holy Spirit, but yet that grace continues to work. God's favor and his care in our life continues to work, continues to help us do what he wants us to do. He calls us to love one another. He calls us to get along. He calls us to step out of our comfort zone and do something for the first time. And then he actually helps us do it. Not that it takes no effort on our part. It takes effort. Paul says, I worked harder than everybody else. But God's power worked in me. So where's the switch? Where's the power assist button in our lives? You know what? I think it's not necessarily an easy one to push. It doesn't switch on easily. I think it's humility. One of the probably just about the hardest things ever. This verse from 1 Peter gives me that clue. He says, all of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So if grace is God's power helping us do something and he doesn't give his grace to somebody who's proud, well, then we're going to have problems doing what he's asked us to do. He says, therefore, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him because he cares about you. I think we need that. I think we need to flip that switch or work on flipping that switch. We need to humble ourselves. And as we talk about change, as we talk about taking a step, as we talk about moving from where we are to someplace else in any area in our life, I think we need God's help and we need to work. Just like Paul said, I worked harder than everybody else, but God's grace worked in me. It's going to take effort. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take us not just sleeping in. But if we can work hard and get humble, I think we can do something great. I think we can actually change. So we're doing this thing. If you were at our members' meeting last month, we talked about it. We actually got another members' meeting coming up on Saturday. Everybody's invited. You can come and see what we talk about as members. If you want to be a member, you can talk to us as well. But we're doing this thing. We're calling it Bold Steps. We're trusting God for bold steps for the next 12 months. Now you think, well, why didn't we start this at the beginning of the year? Well, we weren't quite ready. I'll be humble. Plus, you know, starting things on January 1st is just so passe. It's so like 1990s. You know, this is 2023. Everybody starts stuff on January 1st. So we're starting this idea of bold steps where we're trusting God to help us take steps and believe him for something.
Let's take a season. Let's take the next 12 months. Let's push forward. This is a picture of what God can do, and I think that he will do if we are humble and we work hard. He can help us in these things to push forward. So we picked out six areas. Charlie and myself and Clifton, we talked through all of these areas. We talked through, okay, so what could we do? I originally picked three that I thought would be good. Charlie was like, no, we need more. So, but it's not 48 steps. We just picked six. And so we're going to take the next 2 months and we're going to focus on one. And then after that, we're going to focus on a different one. And we're going to kind of step our way through 12 months, taking on a different focus, a different step each time. So the first step we want to encourage you and challenge you with is the step of trust. And I got a picture of a bridge here. Because when we believe God, you know, believing God is a big deal. But the word trust is associated there. And trusting God, like a bridge to step out in faith and to do something, that's a challenge. Proverbs 3 says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight." And that's a challenge. That's hard to do. But we want to challenge us in the months of March and April. We want to say, okay, so what can we do to grow in trusting God more, in believing him more, in putting our faith in him more? Okay, and then in May and June, we're going to focus on this idea of abiding. And specifically, we want to abide in God's word. You know, the word of abide is used throughout the scriptures. Oftentimes, it's talked about with this idea of kind of living with or living in or remaining in. And we want to remain in God and remain in his word. John 15:5 is, in my mind, the verse. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in or abides in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me." And so this idea of being plugged in, being connected to the vine, abiding in this, receiving your life from God. And this book is, man, it is a fantastic, amazing way. If you're not abiding in this book, well, it's a good place to start. What can you do to abide in God more? So maybe it's getting a reading plan together to read through the Bible in a year. Maybe it's memorization. We're going to have verses to memorize throughout this process. But May and June, we're going to focus on abiding. Step three that we're going to take, we want to engage. We got a picture of some kids at a potluck or at a block party, I guess. We want to engage with the people around us, seeing that this is important. We've been put here for a reason. God has a lot to do through us to love the people around us. I love this verse from 2 Corinthians 5. It says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So what can we do to engage with people more? An easy question is, well, do you know the names of your neighbors? Do you know what they do? Do you stop, do you pause and say hi to them when you see them? Because in our busy world, you zip into the garage and you close the garage door and you can go through life without even ever making eye contact. But do we do that? Do you know the name of the lady who serves you your coffee? Do you care about the people around you? So that's July and August. Step four that we want to challenge ourselves to take is to connect. And this one's, you know, it should be something we're always doing, but I think it's important to focus on it some, to take a couple of months and really dive into this a little bit more. Having fellowship with one another, real connection with the people of God. We see this example in the book of Acts. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And so they were together, and we want to be together like that through our small groups and through Sunday mornings and through potlucks and through, you know, bag lunches and all the other things that we get to do, having coffee together and spending time together and serving one another. So the question, as you think about that step, what can you do to connect with your church more? Step five, we want to challenge ourselves to be generous. Step five is give. Whether that's towards the church or towards other organizations that are doing good, we want to give of our time and our treasure, our energy and our heart. We want to give back to God from what he's given to us. Luke 6, Jesus says, "Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. It will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." What can you do to be more generous? I'm sure that there's something you can do to take a step and say, you know what? I want to uncouple my heart from my wallet and trust God just a little bit more with what I have, what he's given me. And then step six, next January and February, almost a year from now, we want to take the step of looking to pass on what we've been given and to multiply, making disciples. Jesus commanded this. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." And one of the things about that command is it's recursive. He says, "I'm going to teach you this, and then you go teach somebody else this." And that includes this command. So they are supposed to then go and teach somebody else. And so there should be this unbroken chain of discipleship as we pass on what's been passed on to us. As we gather truth, we gather good character, we gather the example of our life, and we say, "Hey, you know what? I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived. I'm not Christian 2.0. But I have a little bit. I have some experience. I have some failings and some faults. And I can pass on what I've learned and what God has taught me to somebody else." What can you do to multiply more? So these are the steps that we've picked out. And I'm excited. These are basic things. There's nothing here that's, you know, super crazy. I mean, it's all right in here. But we say, how can we grow in this area? How can we grow in that area? How can we challenge ourselves? How can that grace of God help us overcome this hill in our life that we're stuck on? And we got to do this together. I think it's so, so important to do this together. Meaningful change is rarely accomplished apart from a supportive community. Meaningful change is rarely accomplished apart from a supportive community. Ecclesiastes says this, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their effort. For if either falls, his companion can lift him up. But pity the one who falls without another to lift him up." And this is so, 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 so true. You want to change something that's hard in your life, don't try to do it by yourself. Or if you do, don't expect it to actually work. We got to depend upon one another. We got to be open. We got to say, "Hey, I could use some help here." We got to work on it together. We got to encourage one another. So we've got five things that we're going to do together. We're going to have teaching. So when it comes time for a new step to come around, we're going to have a teaching on that step. We're going to say, "Okay, so here's some tactics, here's some truth, here's some stories, here's some ways that this will help you, would encourage you." We're also going to be teaching through the book of Acts, which shows so many of these things. It's right there in the story, embedded in the story, the examples of faith, the examples of trust, the examples of abiding, the examples of engaging and connecting and giving and multiplying. It's all there. And so I think that it just dovetails perfectly with all of these steps as we look to topically figure out what it means to do this, and then systematically look at Scripture and say, okay, so what does it say in the book of Acts for this step? So we're going to teach through this, instruct, motivate, equip on each thing as we go through. We also want stories. We want to hear about what's going on. So you say, hey, I'm going to take a step of trust in this, or I'm going to take a step to engage in this. So we want to hear from you, and we want to be able to share those stories with one another. Whether you shoot a little selfie video that we can show, or you come up here and give a testimony, or whatever it might be, we want to encourage one another because we're doing this together, and it's good to hear one another's victories. It's good to hear it, one another say, yeah, you know what? I've never done this before, but I tried it for the first time, and God showed up. He helped me. We're going to have stories. We also got our small groups. We're going to be talking about this. We're going to be bringing it up. We're going to be encouraging one another through our small groups. If you're not part of a small group, you're going to miss out on this one. So I'd encourage you to connect up with a small group somehow. Because we meet, most small groups meet every week in some form or another, and we'll have a chance to check in and say, hey, how you doing? And if you're like, pretty bad, well then, okay, let's talk about it. Let's work on that together. Let's encourage one another. Let's help each other. Number four, we're going to pray together. We're going to establish a weekly time to pray, and that can seem maybe a little overwhelming. Because you think, when can we do that? Well, Tuesday nights at 9 p.m., we're going to have a Zoom prayer meeting. It might not be actually on Zoom, but a video chat prayer meeting so that you don't have to get in your car and go anywhere. You can wear your bunny slippers to the prayer meeting. We're going to leverage technology to try to pray together. And so we're going to use a system where we can kind of have breakout rooms, and you can pray with less than the full group if we have too many people on. And we're just gonna take a half hour, 45 minutes, whatever it might be, and just pray about these things. And it'll be good. It's so good to hear one another's heart in prayer and say, you know what, I'm struggling, I'm failing, or I'm doing all right. Pray for me. So we're going to pray together. We're going to start that in the month of March. And then finally, we've been putting together this journal. The other pastors and a couple of the young adults have been working with me to put together a journal where it steps through the entire year. It'll give you a couple things a week to reflect on and to write out. You'll have a place for notes from the teachings. You'll have some verses in there that you can memorize, and a place where you can record your goals and, you know, what God is doing, how he's showing up. So we're going to have those put together and printed out. It's going to be a little spiral-bound notebook. And you can kind of track your progress. And you can say, God, help me work this out. Help me use this tool. Because it is just a tool. You know what? I've done journal things, and I'm not real good at it. And it can work for a while. And you can start off strong. But it can fall off if you're not doing it together. So that's kind of the plan. This is not an assembly line. We're not churning out widgets. We don't want everybody to look exactly the same when they come out the other end of this initiative, the next 12 months. We want to challenge you to think, okay, so I want to trust God more. What would that look like in my life? Now we can give you examples and try to put some direction in that and help you kind of come up with something. Because if your goal to say, you know what, I want to trust God more, if that goal is really vague and doesn't have a whole lot of actual measurables in it, it's going to be hard to know if you've accomplished it or not. If you say, I want to think about God more throughout the day, okay, well, that might be rather hard to say, yes, you made it. Whereas if you say, hey, you know what, every day at noon I want to pray. Well, then you can set an alarm on your phone, and you could actually do that. And you could say, last week, I did it 5 out of 7 days. I didn't have my phone on Saturday or Tuesday, and so I didn't do it those days, but I'm working on it. You could say, yes, God is helping me achieve my goal. So we want to encourage you guys, we want to challenge you to actually set these things yourselves so that you can write it down and you can say, okay, this is my step. This is what I will do. Because then you have ownership. It's not like, okay, everybody, we're going to read Galatians 1 this next week and everybody has to read it. And if you didn't read it, well then, shame on you. That's okay. And we could do that. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but hopefully the step will be more meaningful and more impactful in your life if you say, okay, what will actually challenge me? Maybe it's reading Galatians 1, I don't know. What will actually make me move from where I'm at? Because we want to move. We don't want to stay the same. We want to trust God. So you will need to challenge yourself with this. You'll need to pray. And hopefully through our small groups and things like that, we can be sharing our goals. And if somebody's goals seem really vague, you can say, well, hey, how could you make that a little bit more concrete? Or if somebody's goals, like, okay, so you want to pray one time this month. Okay, well, that's, maybe we should shoot for one time a week. Or whatever it might be. We can challenge each other, encourage one another to push ourselves, to challenge ourselves, to go for something that we need to depend upon that power assist to get us there. Because we don't want to just pick things that are easy. You know, there's some verses of the Bible that are super easy to memorize. Jesus wept. There you go. Pray continually. Actually, that one's the shortest verse in the Bible. It's only one word in the original language. It's got the fewest number of letters. Pray continually. There you go. Some verses are pretty easy to memorize. Others are quite a bit more challenging. So we want to aim for what will be our personal best. And if you've ever been in sports or different things like that, you don't measure yourself. You know, you're in high school and you're running track. You don't say, okay, so I'm going to beat the world record for the 100-meter dash. You don't necessarily set yourself up on that as a freshman. You say, okay, so what's my personal best going to be? 10 seconds. Okay, so how could I beat that? So we want to challenge you guys in that. So here's my request. Here's us as pastors. Here's our request to you. Work hard. Keep going here. Work hard and get humble. God will help you. It's going to take work if we take these steps together. So take them. Don't just stay where you're at. Be willing to challenge yourself. Be willing to be different. Be willing to trust that God can use this in your life. And number three, be different by God's grace. I have hope. I have hope for us as a church. You know, as a church, we've been here for a while. We've been doing this sort of thing for a while, and it's good. And God is at work, but I think that we can do more. God can take us further. He can take us faster. He can take us more into who he has for us. And I'm excited about that. And I hope you are too. And I hope you will take this journey with us. That you'll lock in as we take these steps. Let's pray. Lord God, I know that we got stuff. We got the things in our life that are challenging, that are holding on to us, that have locked us in. Little things, big things. We've got so much weighing on us, and the idea of taking a step in a certain area can be overwhelming. It can be frightening. It can seem like a fairy tale. But Lord, with you, with your strength, with your power, we can actually change. We can become more like you, and we can reap the satisfaction and the joy and the life that you can give us if we can do that. Lord, I ask for your help. I ask for your humility as we dig deep into your word to figure out what it means for me, what it means for each and every one of these people here. Help us believe you for great things, having faith that your spirit is involved, guiding us, directing us, encouraging us, challenging us, drawing us forward in you. Lord, as we journey, help us take steps. one after another after another. Small steps, big steps, medium-sized steps, help us walk the way that you've called us to. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so next week we're starting the book of Acts. Looking forward to that. Should be really, really good. Thanks, guys. Have a good week.